set. The first one's going to be on Stress Awareness Month. So, and we're going to be talking today with Gaz, our resident mindset coach, about
Success profiles for stress.
Success profiles for stress. So, what is a success profile for stress?
So, firstly, I'd say we kind of live in a world where people think you can be stress-free.
Mm.
And you can't be stress-free. There's no such thing as being stress-free because there's always going to be situations that arise. For instance, if you've got kids, your kids are going to cause you stress.
Yeah.
If you're married, you're probably going to have stress in the marriage.
Yeah. There's,
whether you've got money or you haven't got money, there's still going to be stress associated to it.
I'll tell you what, I've probably been the least stressed when I've got the least money.
Yeah, true, because I think the more money you have, and it's like the work that goes into maintaining that amount of money.
Absolutely.
And all the things that can affect it, it's just going to cause stress.
I really found, like, for us as coaches, especially from like a fitness point of view, over Christmas, November, December, everybody sort of shuts down. Nobody really wants to do coaching, and you don't earn as much money. Luckily, I'd had enough saved to go and pretty much live the life I wanted to live. But my stress levels in November, December were just like nil.
You're managing fewer people, aren't you?
Exactly. You're managing fewer people. You're managing on less money, and you just kind of chilled and you're going with the flow. January comes in, and I make myself these targets of I need to get to this point, and then I'm going to start introducing the PT company. And it all sort of came in a lot faster than I was expecting it to, which is good. But my God, the stress levels were absolutely insane. And it's only over the last, so I took a few days off over Easter last week, and I kind of had to look at myself and like look at, oh my God, I've just been so stressed and putting so much energy into this one thing that everything else, I've forgotten about everything else. And I've forgotten about actually chilling with my family and going to the gym and actually enjoying training and going out on days out, because all I've been thinking about is work.
Yeah, and this is, I think we've spoke about like the balance wheel before, and like you'll grade yourself on all these different areas, a score out of 10, where you are. But inevitably, if one takes a dip and you start to put attention and focus into that, then that attention and focus has got to come from elsewhere. So other things are going to take a dip instead. And it's just the way of the world. We can't have perfect 10 all the way around the balance wheel. And we can't put the same amount of focus into everything.
Yeah.
It's got to be, as it says, a balance across it all. But you raised a good thing there about come January, stress levels went through the roof. And one of the things that can cause stress is expectations that we place on ourselves, amongst a number of other things, change expectations from others. And I'd say these are things that we just can't avoid. So trying to live a stress-free life, it's not going to happen. What we need is tools that help us manage stress, as opposed to trying to eliminate stress. And that's kind of where these success profiles for stress come in. As I said, there's a number of things that can cause us stress. And if you look at it in a sense of a stressor, is like something attacking us.
Yeah.
And as a result, when things get too much, we're going to go into fight, flight, freeze kind of scenario where we will start having reactions to the stress. We'll either fight against it, we'll try and run from it, or we'll just shut down completely. And what generally tends to happen is we enter a bit of a negative feedback cycle whereby something will happen, stress levels will start to rise, we will have a reaction. Now, let's say you're getting a bit stressed at work and you're at home and you don't mean to, but you end up snapping at the wife.
Yep.
And it's absolutely nothing to do with her, it's to do with everything else that's going on. But as a result of that negative reaction from what's going on, you then feel a little bit shit about that after, because you're like, oh, why have I done that? Why have I snapped at it? So you start to feel bad, which in turn can lead to another negative reaction where you start to turn in on yourself a little bit for doing that.
Absolutely.
And then another negative emotion and the cycle continues.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely resonate with what you just said. I'm sure a lot of people that are going to listen to this have probably gone, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much everybody.
Yeah, it's, and it's natural, normal, isn't it? And that's the thing, these negative feedback cycles, everybody's been in them. And it's not necessarily a bad thing that you're in one. When it becomes bad is not realizing that you're in one and persisting and staying in one. The key to the success part of this is firstly just recognizing that, oh shit, I'm in this cycle. And then once you've recognized that, you just have to accept that it's there.
Yeah.
Like, don't try and fight against it, because one of the things that people do to try and eliminate stress is to try and eliminate it completely. Whereas, like we said, you find it difficult to do that because there's always going to be stress. So once you've recognized that you're in it and you've accepted, I'm in this position, then that's where you then start to make a plan to move yourself out of it.
Okay.
And the tools that I've used with clients that have been very successful is, firstly, identifying what the actual stress is.
What the actual stressor is.
Yeah, what is the main thing? Because you could have multiple things causing stress, but what we want to do is identify what's the main one. And then we look at it and we say, okay, if 10 was the most stressed ever, could not be more stressed, and 0 was stress-free, whereabouts on the scale would it be? So let's say, for instance, somebody says, oh, I'm about a 7. And you say, okay, 7, pretty high, but why isn't it an 8? Why isn't it a 9? And then what you're doing is getting people, or if you do this with yourself, you're getting yourself to realize that actually things could be worse than where they are right now. So straight away, you're bringing yourself into a more kind of logical mindset with it all. And you're like, yeah, okay, things could be worse because this could have happened, that could have happened, and the other could have happened.
Yeah, well, you always compare yourself to others as well.
Yeah.
So I would think, oh, I'm really stressed, really pissed off, like, but at least I'm not going through what that person's going through.
Yeah.
So you're never going to put yourself at a 10.
That's it. No, but it's a very, very rare situation. If it's at a 10, then yeah, you're in trouble. But it's very rare that people are going to be there. Even if it's a 9 and it's way up there, just thinking, well, it's not quite got that bad yet to be a 10, is enough to kind of just bring you down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then once we've established that and we've established why it isn't higher than what it is, then we look at the situation and we say, okay, and this is again where I say most people will try and eliminate it completely. And we don't. We say, okay, it's currently a 7. How do I make it a 6? And we don't try and get rid of all the stress. We just try and implement something that's going to bring it down slightly, by one. And you look at that, and then it's making a plan, making a goal setting approach, the same as you would with anything else, where you say that, right, okay, in order to bring it down one, I think this needs to happen. Okay, so how do we go about doing that?
Yeah.
And we start to formulate the plan on how to do it, work our way through the plan, switch it into a SMART goal to execute the plan. And then at the end of all of that, you sit down and you go, right, well, where are my stress levels now? And 9 times out of 10, when I've done this with people, and let's say they have been a 7, just by making the plan, they've brought themselves down to a 5 or even a 4.
Because they can see a route.
Yeah.
They can see
that path out of it.
It reminds me, I was speaking to somebody the other day about this, and I can't for the life of me remember what the book was called, but it's about a guy that got stuck at the top of Everest, and he lost his friend at the top.
Okay.
And to get down, instead of going, oh shit, I've got so far to go to get down to base camp, I'm literally going to go get to that rock. Just get to that rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to that rock. Once you got to that rock, he was like, right, okay, assess the situation. Where am I at? Okay, let's get to that bit there. Get down to that bit, and it's a little bit. And he made it down by just doing that. Whereas if you'd have thought of it, oh my God, I've got so far to go. You know, my stress levels are so high, or any circumstance really.
Yeah, any goal is the same.
Any goal. If you look at the broader big picture, you will just go, that's unachievable, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So you look at the smaller aspects, the little things that you need to do to get to where you want to be.
That's it. And I always use a similar thing with clients in any situation, whatever the goal. Been PTing in the past, let's say it's a weight loss goal,
yep,
and they want to get to wherever, it's like, well, that's the top of the mountain. You're not going from here to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
You can see the top of the mountain, but you've got to focus on. And this is why when we're doing goals, we'll say, okay, here's your 12-month goal. What does that mean in 6 months? What does that mean in 3 months? What Absolutely. Does that mean in a week?
Absolutely.
And what does that mean every day?
I mean, that's the way that I think about business as well.
Yeah. It applies to everything.
It applies to absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. So from, so obviously this has worked with clients that you've done before. What's the sort of time frame, or once you've put that plan, set that plan up with your client, what's the next step? What would be towards them? Would it be like, okay, here's a few little smaller goals that I want you to try to achieve,
yeah,
to bring it back in?
Well, that's it. With this, we're not looking at, like we would with a client's long-term goal, this bringing it down by one is very much a short-term goal. So we're looking at things that we can put in place straight away. What can you do immediately to bring this down?
Okay,
by
so
one?
Let's so people can sort of get conceptualize it. Let's use me as an example. I am extremely stressed with, not extremely stressed, but I'm quite stressed with work. I've kind of put it to the forefront of everything in my entire life. But to me, work is a success parameter.
Yeah.
The better, the more successful I am in work, the more successful I feel that I am. That's what makes me happy. How would you sort of help me to plan to maybe, I don't want my business to fail, obviously, but I know that I need to maybe stop getting so stressed with it and stressed about it. Sort of a brief outline of a plan of how I would sort of bring that in, or how I would, because I realize that that's what the issue is. Now what? How do I do it without ruining my business? Or how do I do it if I was stressed in a relationship, but I really, I wanted to keep that friendship, but it was really stressing me out. How would I sort of go forward? And is it communication? Is it putting my mind into other things? Which sort of direction do I go with that?
The first thing you got to look at, and the first thing I go through with you, is what is the actual cause of the stress?
Yeah.
So you could say, I'm stressed with work, I'm stressed with this relationship, but what about work? What about that is causing that stress?
So
let's dial it in into what is the biggest issue in that area. So if it, using the work example, so if you're saying you're very stressed with work at the moment, why? What is causing that stress?
So if I was to then answer and say, well, to be honest with you, I'm so stressed with work because theoretically I'm running two businesses, potentially three businesses, if you were to take the actual PT company apart. It's three separate businesses, and my actual me coaching as an individual, it's taken up so much of my time that I don't actually feel like I get to spend any time outside of the business.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, how would you these are the steps that you need to take.
So where would you put that in terms of a number, 10 being the most, 0 being the least? What kind of stress level?
Stress-wise, probably around a 7, I would say.
7. Okay, so why is not an 8? Why is it not a 9?
Because I'm coping with it.
Okay. Well, that's good that you're coping with it.
And I'm very much, I can see the benefit already starting to pay off. That's why, and to me, when you think like that, when you see good things happening that are coming from the stress, you almost tell yourself, well, I certainly do, that, oh, it's worth it. Because, it's making moves, it's going places, it's doing my, the ideas that I had and the things that I wanted to introduce, I had planned for the end of this year, ready to go in January. It's only because January was good for me on a sort of individual basis that I decided to bring it all forward.
Yeah.
So then you think to yourself, well, you know, did you bring it forward too much or too much too soon? But then you start to see the benefits and things like that coming out.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a coping. You're like, okay, I can cope with the stress because
you've seen results.
Seen results and you've seen success.
Okay, so is the stress that you're feeling more to do with the time that you're not spending on other things as opposed to the time that you're putting in on this?
Yeah. I would say that it's, I feel that time with family.
You feel that's taking a hit?
Big time, yeah.
Okay, so if that's the seven that's causing you stress, how would you go about bringing that to a six?
Probably my main thing that I'd need to do is put my phone down.
Okay.
You know, like just to sort of bring, because I'm never really fully there when I'm with my family. I'm always phones in hand, messaging somebody or sending an email back or something. There's always something that's got to be done. But that's the same with any business. Like, you know, you've been self-employed, you're self-employed now. There's always something to be done, isn't there?
There is. You're right. It's one of them things where you want your business to grow. Exactly. So there's always things to be done.
Business is like a second child.
Yeah.
Or a third child or whatever. It's like a child that's not a child. You've got to spend time in it and nurture it and get it to grow.
And it's more likely to look after you in old age than you
actually do. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so if we're looking at that and we're saying, okay, in order to bring this to a six, I'd just have to put my phone down a bit. So what measures can you put in place that would ensure that wouldn't have an impact on the business?
Probably put time into my calendar where I know that my family, I'm going to be with my family, for example, Saturday and Sundays, where I maybe leave the phone upstairs or I turn the phone off, God forbid, or, you know, the iPad goes to one side or I even leave the house and go out without it. And it's a weird one, you know, talking about this. So, but going off a little bit, me and my wife and my kid, we went for a meal last night, a local restaurant, and we were sat there and we were having a laugh and the phones didn't come out at all. The phones were just in our pockets. I was talking to Flo and we were having a laugh and stuff. And the table next to us, there was a couple who were probably in their, like, you know, mid to late 40s, and sat down with a drink each, facing each other, and they didn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
And just sat there with their phones. And I looked at that. And my wife said to me, she was like, I don't know how people do that. I don't know, why aren't they talking to each other? And I agreed, and I was like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, and then I thought to myself, I'll do that.
And then you get
I do that all the time. It's only because we're in a restaurant that I'm not doing that. If we were at home, my wife was talking to me, I'm only 50% there.
Yeah.
Like, she'll say, have you heard that? And I'm like, what?
Well, yeah. I think, like, I do that with my kids. I say, when we're out, phones stay in your pocket or wherever they may be. They do not come out. While we're sat at a table, they don't come out. There's no need for them to come out.
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that you've did that is great.
Yeah.
Like, because, and it's almost like, think of in these terms, when you're at home, it's like a second office.
It is. Especially these days.
Yeah. And when you're self-employed, it's like a second office. You're in that environment and it's just normal for you to have your phone out and be doing work. When you're in a restaurant, it's a change of
scenery.
It's a different situation. You're like, right, we're actually spending time as a family. But you're not seeing that when you're at home currently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you come up with some great things. I could just turn my phone off. You could just set do not disturb on your phone for certain times when you're going to be at home. I know a lot of people that found that the phone was going way into the evening. Come 6 in the evening, when it's like family meal time or whatever it may be, it's like, right, my phone is on do not disturb now until tomorrow morning or whatever time works well for you. Or it could be a case of, well, I'm going to set it to do not disturb for, say, 4 till 7, till my daughter goes to bed. Then I'll allow myself an hour to catch up on anything that needs doing, and then it's going to do not disturb again till the morning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're in a time where technology's come along, made everything so much easier, but we're so attached to it. I mean, we're sat here with two iPads, two phones.
Yeah.
And everything watch that vibrates every time I get a message come through, and we're never disconnected from
it. Never disconnected. Do you think bringing it back to the, because I quite like, I enjoy doing, so this, none of this has been planned about you sort of like dismantling my stress levels or anything. I just, you know, taking an opportunity almost, and it's, I think it'd be interesting for people to listen. I don't care about sort of, you know, airing my dirty laundry or whatever, but taking it back to that initial stress level and people being more stressed, it's obviously because we're not designed to take in the amount of information that we now take in. We're not designed for that, are we? And that's why people now need these tools to cope with stress. I think we're always, like you said, we're always supposed to, like, our body does thrive on a certain amount of stress. If we didn't have stress in our lives, we'd never do anything. If, you know, if you sat there and you're like, okay, I've got absolutely no stress whatsoever, you will create stress. Though, you know, if you were a bloody road sweeper, there'd never be enough shit on the shovel.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be stressed about something.
There's always something. We will find it. We will dig it out. And it's just how we are as humans.
Yeah.
Cortisol is the stress hormone, and that elevates first thing in the morning to get us going. The danger comes when we've got chronic stress, like small amounts of stress, and certain stresses can be good for the body, like cold water therapy, saunas, etc., things like that. But it's that chronic stress that's bad for us.
So how would, obviously, you're probably not going to know if you're suffering with chronic stress, I'm assuming?
There'll be indicators there, but you probably won't recognise it in yourself. You won't recognise it.
And even if you do subconsciously recognise it, you're probably not going to admit to it, right?
No, and there's lots of danger factors that come along with it as well, like obviously elevated cortisol for too long can lead to heart problems, and we don't want that over the long term. But if you feel like that, then you need to maybe start implementing some daily kind of activities, or allocating time to yourself where you just take 30 minutes of mindfulness kind of time, go for a walk, do some yoga, meditate, even just listening to music.
I'll tell you one thing that I find quite therapeutic and takes me out of everything, because it's difficult for us as well, because we work in and around the fitness industry. You more from like a mindset point of view now, me just full on in the fitness industry, you know, looking at all different aspects of it. So for me, doing yoga or going to the gym is not stress relieving. It just keeps my head in work. And that's had a big impact on my actual training.
Yeah.
Is because I don't, you know, when I'm training, I'm like, unless I go and actually do a class where I'm being told what to do and I'm being watched, I won't, because I'll be like, oh, I'll just stop and send this email. I'll just write this idea down or whatever. So for me, one thing that I quite like doing is cooking.
Yeah.
it's weird, isn't it?
But it takes my mind
off everything, and I need to keep an eye on the steak, or I need to keep an eye on...
So you're being present in the moment. That's the key thing.
Gardening.
With mindfulness. Yeah.
Gardening as well. Tidying up the garden the other week. I'd completely forgot. Didn't even realise where my phone was.
Yeah.
But as soon as I'd finished and I got back into the house, I was like, where's my phone?
Yeah.
Shit. I need to find it. Have I got any... And you know what? Nobody missed me. The world didn't end.
No.
You know, the PT company website didn't disappear. Nothing. Everything was still... You know. So
at the end of the day, we go sleep every night, and everything carries on. So why can't we take that time
in the day?
You know, so going to your stress levels and the plan for that moving forward is, you know, you've just said, how do I go about making more time for the family?
Yeah.
So we use a diary for everything in our line of work. Everything's organized in there. So we start to put time in the diary for the things that are most important to us. And unfortunately, it tends to be the things that are most important to us that end up taking the back seat when massively. We're working and on other things.
I don't understand that.
No.
It's weird, isn't it?
Only thing I can put it down to is the world is motivated by the need to have money.
Yeah.
And that almost takes over from us seeing what's actually most important, because let's face it, when we're gone, it's those people that are going to miss us. If we're on the deathbed, we're not going to regret the money we didn't make. We'll regret the time that we didn't spend.
So I often look at this from a wealth perspective.
Yeah.
People always associate wealth with currency, with what they've got in the bank, with money. Whereas up until, you know, probably a couple of years ago, when we were living away, I had a really good work-life balance, mm-hmm. because I would work in the morning and in the afternoon go down to the beach,
yeah,
and chill.
Yeah, in a country where you're able to do that.
Whereas now I'm like, okay, well, what else have I got to do?
Yeah,
you know. And so you do focus more on. Whereas different cultures, different countries, different people, they're far less caught up in the rat race,
yeah.
than we are.
Yeah,
in like a more of an urban, you know, urban society.
Yeah, and this, like, one of my clients, I think it's his godson that he was telling me about, and he is over in Belize, and he basically has a small fishing boat, and he takes out people in the morning on fishing trips. They'll catch what they catch. The people on the trip get some of the catch. He keeps some of the catch. He obviously gets paid for the fishing trip as well, then comes back to shore, sells the catch that he's kept, makes his money from that, spends the rest of the day doing whatever he wants to do. Don't think he even owns a pair of shoes. Like, he just spends the entire time on the beach doing what he wants.
To me, that's wealth.
Yeah, he is. He's probably got wealth in time.
Yeah, he's probably wealthier than us.
Yeah.
Because he's probably, his stress levels are going to be a lot less.
Yeah.
He's probably thinking, well, if I don't sell the fish, I'll just eat the fish.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to starve. Because at the end of the day, somebody once said to me, and I always bring it back to that now, of you've got to have a bubble. You can take risks with things, and you can, but as long as you've got your bubble, you need to decide what your bubble is.
Yeah.
And I've always said that my bubble is obviously my mortgage and my car and stuff like that. But again, it's all wealth.
Yeah.
It's all money generated. Everything. It's all material things.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, I think the older I get, the more I think to myself, well, actually, I should have time in that bubble.
Yeah.
It should be more time relevant of the amount of time that I've got to spend doing the things that I want to do. It's just fortunate, but also unfortunate, that the things that I like doing are working and building a business. So, but you get to that point where you do it and you do it and you do it to the point where I don't want it to get there, so I don't enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is, if you enjoy work, then great, you enjoy work.
You don't know many people that do.
No.
And so you've already
to be
won
in that position.
You're already, so there's wealth, because you're enjoying what you do, because you work from, you know, from when you leave school to when you retire. And I don't know many people that actually really honestly enjoy what they do.
No, most can't wait to retire.
Exactly. Whereas I don't think I'll ever retire.
No, I've always said I can't see myself just doing nothing.
No.
You know, like, you kind of have this thing of, oh, if I can get to 50, retire at 50, and then I'll have money and do whatever I want. But realistically, think about it in terms, say you have 2 weeks off work. How long is it till you're bored?
I am ready to go back in.
Yeah.
I am ready to
Because we need something to do. We need purpose. So we've got to have something to do all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think, going into like stress and wealth, and there's so much pressure, and bringing it back into the stress component of what we're talking about, there's so much pressure to make money and to be successful.
Yeah.
In the, you know, and you look at, again, I think we spoke about it on the last podcast, and I speak about it all the time, but social media promotes that.
It does mostly. Massively, because all you see is the best version of people's lives, where everyone's trying to promote that they're successful. And as a result, it makes other people think, well, why aren't I where they are? Which again causes stress.
And to be honest with you, the people that you're looking at and you're asking yourself, why am I not where they are? Why have I not got a life like them? They probably haven't really got that life. And they're not showing you their stresses. They're not showing you
the downsides.
They're not sharing with you. You know, I put loads of stuff on my Instagram. Never have I spoke about my stress levels.
No.
Never have, until now. Never have I gone, yeah, actually, it really stresses me out.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Social media is purely there to
show off.
Show off, yeah. It's this is how good my life is. You know, it's like all the pictures people put on of being in Bali, but you never see the other side of Bali, the poverty side and everything like that. You just see the fancy influencer side of it. And it's the same in real life. You see a screenshot, a flicker of people's lives. You don't see everything else around it. So even somebody might look extremely successful on there, and they're going off to all these different places traveling, but you don't see any of the work around that, or any of the stresses around that, or anything else. You just see
had to sacrifice
to
be able to get that. Or have they really actually got that?
Got that, yeah. That's the other side of things, is there's a lot of falseness on social media as well. Like all these people on TikTok that talk about how they're making millions when realistically they probably aren't. But they'll tell you that you should feel bad if you're not making 100 grand a month and stuff like that. And it's like, well, realistically, how many people are? When the average wage is, 35 grand a year. So, not many people are making that money, and most of the people on there are just trying to sell you something.
So from a stress perspective on that, as you're coming in as a mindset coach, and you've got somebody who's blatantly looking on social media a lot, and the reason for their stress and the reason for their negative mindset is because they're not getting... They don't think they're getting the quality of life that they should be because they're seeing other people with the quality of life that they wish they had on TikTok, on Instagram. How do you manage that expectation? Do you just say, listen, it's fucking not real?
You can't really get people. And that's the key thing with coaching, is you don't really offer advice to anybody. You get them to
realize
it themselves.
Very much like I can think of quite a few examples where people have sent me pictures of people and gone, I want to look like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So you then have to try and explain that they probably don't look like that all the time. They're showing you their best bits.
Yeah.
They're not showing you when they're getting ready for bed at night and they walk past the mirror and they go, oh, fuck's sake, look at, you know, I don't look.
They're all bloated.
They're showing you how they want you to look at them.
Yeah. In that situation, you start to manage your client's expectations by giving them that information without telling them you're not going to look like that.
Yeah.
You just manage their expectations, get them to see it from a different angle.
And it's the same from a stress perspective
it's
as well.
It's exactly the same. We never say to somebody, like, I wouldn't say to you, right, this is what you need to do to reduce your stress in the situation we described.
Well, like you just did then, all you did was ask a load of questions and let me answer it myself and go to my own plan.
That's it. And that's what we do. The it's coach is there just to guide you into it.
Sending them down the right path.
Yeah.
Potentially, rather than telling them, right, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure that you turn your phone off. That's what I do. And then, you know, it's exactly the same a lot of the time as coaching from a fitness point of view. You give them the tools and the options, and then they come up with what's going to, because everybody's different at the end of the day as well, from a stress perspective and from a fitness perspective. People have very different lives, so it's not a one size fits all case, is it?
No, that's it. And like in the situation we said about people expecting things through social media, the answer to that potentially would be get rid of social media.
Yeah.
But you tell somebody that, it ain't going to happen. So,
or it might do for a few days, maybe even a week.
And then they go back on it.
And then they'll go back on it and he'd go back to square one. Yeah.
So I know there's Hugh Van Culemberg. the Resilience Project.
Okay.
He speaks about the social media aspect, and he says one of the best things he did was taking Facebook off his phone completely.
So it's a desktop tool?
Purely, he said if he wanted to go on it, he'd go on it on his desktop, and he said he's never actually been on it. Like, once it wasn't on his phone,
yeah.
But that helped him to be more present in the moment as well, because he wasn't just picking up his phone to go on social media.
Yeah.
So it has a knock-on effect of you start to be more present because you're not constantly picking up your phone, scrolling through the same thing that you've just scrolled through. Kind of, it's almost an excuse, but I say like, oh, it's hard for us because we need it on our phones to we're deal business, with business.
Yeah.
So we almost make excuses, but realistically, I could get it off my phone completely, just have it on the iPad, and then
check it once a day.
Check it once a day.
Well, I for the longest, like for a little while, I set my WhatsApp to have a response every time somebody sent me a WhatsApp. I set it up on my Facebook messages. I set it up on Instagram so that when somebody sent me a message, they'd come back and I could set it, turn it on, turn it off. And I did set some time, but everybody kicked off. You know?
Right.
And it's one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, like, even like friends and family, they were like, what do you mean? Like, why am I getting an auto response from you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, because people messaging me all the time. It's not the same. People tend to, especially when you work for yourself and you work in the sort of industry that we work in, and it'd be the same for a lot of other people, I think, and I'm going to come on to this in a minute and ask how people would deal with this, with emails.
Yeah.
I don't tend to get many. I do now with the PT company because that's more in the sort of like, more in the corporate world. But dealing with being a self-employed fitness coach, you get a lot of messages on Instagram, a lot of messages on WhatsApp, a lot, which I love. I don't mind that. Obviously, your clients, you welcome them messaging you.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just, and it was never the clients that would say, it was always them that understood.
Yeah.
It was more friends and family. They're like, what do you mean? And we're getting an auto response. And stuff. I just need some time away.
Set your boundaries with your clients beforehand though, don't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
I do with mine. Yeah, I say to them, like, you can message me anytime.
Yeah.
However, if I'm busy or doing something, you won't get a response straight away.
Yeah.
And you set that boundary. Have you set that boundary with your friends and family?
No.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Is they've got an expectation
that you're readily available.
Available, whereas your clients don't have that expectation because you've told them that.
Yeah. So let's say that to like a work perspective now. So you've got people that are working from home a lot more now.
Yeah.
Which I think from looking from the outside in, like not being a employee and not being salaried at all, being every gym that I work at, I am a outside consultant, you know, or so people that are salaried and people that have got work emails and work phones and work laptops that work from home, they are now feeling almost a guilt, I would say, for shutting off, for having an evening to themselves. And
yeah, I think
do you think that's a big part of, like, you know, post-pandemic, post-COVID? Do you think that's had a big impact on higher stress levels?
So I think COVID in general did, forcing people to work from home. You lost that kind of social aspect of being in the office. And although some people enjoy working from home because they don't have to commute, etc. The problem comes when your work also becomes your office. You need to create a separate environment that you can close the door on and leave, ideally. Like, if you're in your dining room doing work,
in your bedroom,
or bedroom, then you're just associating that place with work. And therefore, you are going to be phone there, laptop there, whatever it may be. If it goes off, you can do what people need to start doing, ideally, is setting boundaries. And I know some people say, well, it's kind of expected from work.
It's not.
It shouldn't be expected from work. At the end of the day, you get a salary, you get paid, but you generally have hours that you work between.
That's kind of disappearing.
Yeah.
From what I can see.
It is.
I mean, people tend to, they're like, okay, I work 9 to 5. It's like, okay, so at 5 o'clock, you put that laptop down.
Close the laptop.
But people don't. They'll be getting emails, and it's kind of almost now expected that you're on 24/7.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
At the end of the day, and in all honesty, the answer lies in the individuals setting their boundaries. And a lot of things comes to boundaries. If you let people cross your boundaries, or if you haven't made your boundaries clear, then same with kids. Kids push boundaries all the time. If you don't set your boundary as a parent, say, this is acceptable, this isn't acceptable, they will continue to push that boundary and push that boundary and push that boundary until, like, you're at your wit's end with them.
Yeah.
But if you set that boundary and maintain that boundary, they generally don't push it. It's like with our clients, we set a boundary that don't expect us to reply straight away because we're busy. And we might not be able to.
Yeah.
And they accept that. They might, if we did start to break that boundary, then they might expect it more. But as long as you maintain that boundary, then it's everything ticks along nicely.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to do in the work situation is, just understand that you have to have boundaries.
And you've got a life to live outside of work.
And I think not having boundaries causes a lot of stress because you might have a boundary yourself, but if you haven't expressed that,
communicated that boundary with other people,
then you're almost creating a silent contract that the other person knows nothing about, and you're like, well, I shouldn't have to do this,
and then you start getting annoyed.
But if you're doing it, you can't really get annoyed at that, because you are breaking your own boundary, and then people will keep expecting that.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. Well, we tried to make it a short podcast today. It was supposed to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
We're on 45.
We're on 45 minutes. So I'm going to wrap it up, but we'll have to do it again sometime because I like talking to you about mindset stuff. I like talking, you've been very, very knowledgeable, and you talk from experience, and you seem to talk from the heart about it. You seem really passionate about helping people to change their lives. So, awesome. Where can people find you?
So they can get me on me Instagram or TikTok under Gaz Cheatham Coaching.
Yep.
Facebook again, Gaz Cheatham Coaching.
Yep. Very soon through the PT company website.
Through the PT company as well.
Through their website as well. Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you very much. See you soon.